Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 253, I'm very lucky, privileged to have Shane Mulgrew on the podcast. Aha, got it right. He is an executive high performance coach, business coach, and basically a retiring sports professional and elite athlete, helping build success in businesses after their sporting careers. Did I get that right?
You did indeed, yeah. That's a wee bit about what I do and who I work with, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know what? Before we get into the meat and veg of it all, okay, Froning or Fraser?
Fraser, yeah, definitely.
Oh, interesting. Why Fraser?
He's just my, yeah, I like the way he is. I just like the way he's so cool with everything. He doesn't really care too much about, you know, success or fame or any of those things. He just wants to get the job done. But I like Froning as well. I think Froning's fantastic, obviously. But I think Fraser's the guy that I think everybody wants to be nearly within the CrossFit scene, you know?
Yeah. I have to say, I was very impressed with some of the videos you have on your own Instagram. Yes, like I was like, okay, yeah, you know what? Handstand push-ups, all of that type of thing? No, no. It's like, I'm like, yeah, when you like did your 100 kg like overhead squat, I was like, okay, fair enough. Leave it at that. I was like, okay. Yeah, so I have to ask, you went from like, okay, doing like bar work, working in bars, like picking up glasses, everything like this, to like, yeah, how did you like come to the point where you went, you know what, I need to make a change? What was that sort of moment? I have to ask.
Yeah, I think if you think of, I mean, being working behind a bar or lifting glasses, it's, I mean, it's more like a student job, isn't it? It's not something you really aspire to be, you know? So I had sort of just failed to become a professional soccer player, and I needed to find work. So I did really every job imaginable that I just did really disliked and didn't feel fulfilled. So I needed to find something. I found this book one time. I was told to read it. So I thought, you know, life isn't really going as planned. So something has to work. So I started reading Think and Grow Rich, the book, and that's really where it started, to be honest. I started to really resonate with it, and okay, this stuff might work. So that's the real turning point, you know. And like, I had no real education, so reading a book was just the last thing I would ever do. So someone said, look, you should read this book, I think you'd really enjoy it, you know. And that was the real turning point then, really.
Yeah, because like, this is the thing, like, it's one of those things when people go, yeah, I did this and it helped started the whole process. Like, what would you say was the sort of real seed it put in you to sort of like go, hey, wait a second, because you were destined, like if everything was all equal right now, you would have been like, hey, signing another contract for a rather big team here in the Premiership or further afield, who knows? Yeah, but what was the sort of like, ooh, wait, let me try this one thing first and then see where it goes?
I think it was actually struggle. So I was actually going through a real bad time, a real bad period. So once I failed to get a professional, another professional contract, I had real no, I had no alternative. You know, I had to go and work on a building site for a while. So that was like that 2 to 3 years was like a period of, just really not liking my life. And I think I got so low that the only way was up, you know, if that makes sense. A real downward period. And I think that was really it. The seed was, okay, my life is going to just continue to go down or end. I need to do something. So probably for the first time in my life, I actually listened to someone and took some advice. Whereas in my younger years, as a teenager, I thought I knew it all. I was sort of that type of teenager that I have nothing to learn, you know.
Which teenager doesn't know it all?
So it was really struggle. And I think if I look back at my life, and even today, struggle really pushes me on now. Whereas a lot of people see struggle as such a negative thing, where it's probably the thing that really pushes me on, you know, or any type of challenge, you know.
No, I get that, because like this is the thing, like it must have been kind of very difficult at that period of time, because look, your identity, I'd imagine your whole identity was being this football figure. Like, yeah, you like going up to, if anyone asked you, it's like, yeah, what do you do? Like, yeah, I'm semi-professional footballer. I'm like, yeah, looking for to get my professional contract, and having that to sort of like a bye-bye. That is a huge sort of like identity shift to what, you know, trying to find yourself must like so difficult, so difficult.
Yeah. Well, I actually had a conversation today with an Olympic athlete. He's an Irish Olympian. And he said the exact same thing about a real loss of identity. It actually happened to him as he was retiring, because he was such a successful guy within the Olympics, within running, track and field. And then all of a sudden he didn't have that anymore. He had to find a new career. And he was saying, look, Olympians, it's not like they make a big financial gain, you know. So the identity thing for me was, I was just always going to be that footballer, you know. And if I don't know if you know too much about the Premiership football clubs, but they treat you like pure royalty. And I was sort of living the high life without the confirmed contract, you know. So they were treating me amazing. This is the life I wanted to live. And I mean, I was at one of the main clubs that I was tipped to sign for was Manchester City. And at that time, Kevin Keegan was manager, and I was rolling about with all the senior players at that time. So I had a taste of it. I had a taste of what that life might look like, and that's all I wanted. And then all of a sudden that was just like a taken away, and I was sort of left with no other solution. So I had to recreate some form of identity or some form of success, you know. I think when you're an athlete, you still always have a strong mindset or a strong character. And I think I've taken that sort of performance, and I've introduced that into the business world, you know, and I think that's where athletes can really, where if they do fail and they don't exactly make it or achieve what they want to achieve, they can use their strong mentality that they had in sport to transform that into business, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. It's one of those things where I look at sports people and like you'd, either if their careers ended short or if they've gone on to a long, like long career of like great triumph or like just a career of mediocrity. It's the thing I think they always miss, depending on what type of sport. I think it's two things. One, the day-to-day competition. And two, if it's a team sport, the camaraderie, which comes with that sort of group belonging. It's like one, like, you know what I mean? Having your own identity as this football player. But like, yeah, that sort of like greater bond, being with a group of people focused on one goal to make that happen, win that game, win that league title, whatever it might be, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's major. Even today, I still play today. And it's mainly for the social aspect, you know? And you nearly... If you think of who we are as business people, it's quite a serious business, and it's quite mature. You have to sort of act a certain way. So whereas within the team environment, you can be a wee bit, you know, more silly and immature, and you can have a laugh with your teammates. You know, and that's the great thing about it is, but when that's taken away from you, or you're not doing that anymore, especially when, if you think of professionals, they're in that environment, they're in this bubble, and they're nearly not allowed to socialize and relax as such. So once they're taken out of that bubble, it is extremely strange, and it's like a fish out of water, so to speak. So yeah, the social aspect of you know, being in that bubble and that environment is amazing, but when it's taken away from you all of a sudden, it can be challenging.
Like, this is the thing with what you do right now, with like helping coach people, like business people, entrepreneurs, that it must be kind of a weird thing, because if there is a one lonely type of competition you go into on a daily basis as a person, is being an entrepreneur, because like, hey, you are in charge of a business. If you've got a company, it's the buck stops with you, and the people you would look to go, you're on my team, they're not as invested. They're invested as an employee, but they're not going to be as invested as a business owner, if you get what I mean, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's when I work with people, what I find, the two of the biggest things that they really struggle with is their energy levels and then the distractions in their day, you know, and that's what the most thing that people think entrepreneurs are only working on, the things that make them money and the things that grow their business, whereas a lot of the time they're just putting out fires, you know, they're distracted all the time, or they're listening to their employees complain all the time, or it's a lot of distractions, a lot of negative energies being pointed at the business owner or the entrepreneur all the time. And what I find the biggest struggle is really saving their energy and really focusing on the priorities for themselves personally, and then for their business too, you know.
Yeah, like I often wonder, like with someone, like with anyone who's like sort of doing the whole coaching side of things for other people, like, what was one of the things you would say at the beginning, but you would never do? Like, you know, have a, like, get 8 hours of sleep. Like, yeah, 4 hours. You're like, after 4 hours, you're up. Like, going, okay, I need to work on this. Like, yeah. What was like one of those things where you're like, you need to do this. You know better as a coach, but you're like, but I'm not doing it myself.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, probably the first 2 years of my coaching career, I did that. You know, I was this person pretending to be someone else. And that only lasted so long. So I was pretending to do the things that I was trying to coach. You know, and it could be anything, really. You talked about 8 hours sleep.
Yeah.
At that time, I would have dreamed of having 8 hours sleep. But I was just like a workaholic. And I was, my energy levels were just up and down. I was living off maybe Monster or Red Bull at that time, and that was just, I was so obsessed with growing my business and so obsessed with making, you know, a financial income, that I just neglected my own personal health and well-being. But that can only last so long, so I needed to practice what I preached. And that's why I have a slight obsession with CrossFit now, because it's a therapy to me. So I've just spent the full day there working at the laptop, and that can be draining. But the reality is, I woke up this morning, I had an amazing morning. I did CrossFit, I had fresh air, I had good food, good nutrition, good night's sleep last night. So it's, you're a product nearly of the people you work with as well. So I find that health and exercise and is just like therapy to me. It's sort of my comfort zone. Whereas a lot of people, if they did watch CrossFit, they would say I'm mad in the head, but but it is like therapy to me, honestly.
Now, this is the thing, when you go, it's like my comfort zone for CrossFit. Like, what I would say, like, I don't see it that way. Anyone who does exercise on the regular basis, I think it's the type of thing, because especially in the sort of CrossFit arena or something where you're challenging yourself to hit a PB on everything like this, I think it's more sort of, as well as being a physical exercise, I think it's a mental exercise too, helping build that sort of fortitude on a daily basis. I think when people don't exercise on a daily basis, they sometimes, not so much weaker, it's the case of they succumb to stress a little bit sooner, you know?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. Absolutely, absolutely correct. I mean, stress, I think sometimes people give stress a bit of a bad rap sometimes, because we need stress in order to get things done, get shit done, so to speak. I think a mixture of stress and rest is essential, but the reality is most people in the world we live in today are just living off stress. You know, it's all they know, and they don't know how to release it. They don't know how to manage it or control it.
Mm.
You're 100% correct. The people that don't exercise or have no appreciation for it, just the human body and the human mind, I feel it's really wrong. It should be a compulsory, it should be a law, I think, to exercise. Honestly.
Be careful, they'll come for you.
It's so beneficial for everything, every aspect of your life. Just moving the body, the benefits that gives you is so important.
So how did you get, book aside, but what was the sort of first sort of major positive step? You go, okay, you know what? I'm done with the bar life. I want to see where, I want to really sort of push myself to the next level. Yeah. In your life, what did that consist of?
Well, another element of struggle. So I actually lost my friend suddenly. He died of a heart defect, and I was actually working as a plant machinery mechanic at the time. Mm. So I was someone that fixed diggers and big trucks and stuff like that. And I just got the phone call that he had died, and that was a sort of a shock to the system, because he was one of my closest friends. He's an amazing guy, and I thought, if this can happen to him, then something that can definitely happen to me. So I need to change something. So the very next day, I went and I did my personal training qualification, and started my PT business. And I did that for 6 months, and that was great. I worked really hard, and I got some cash in hand and cash in the bank. It was great. But it was never going to be sustainable, so I needed something else. So it was probably after that first 6 months, it was probably that's when I made that real transition to make money for myself. I went to develop and bring my business online, and I started to sell programs that were called, in my world, is called high ticket. So what a high ticket program is, like a longer program, but it's much more value. It's more it's very intimate, very hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more effort, but you get paid a lot more for it. So I learned, used my already skills that I had. I created a high ticket program online and started to promote it and sell it. And that's the real, when I realized that, you know what, I can actually fulfill that void that probably professional football, I didn't get. I started to fill that sort of that void there that I wanted in regards to money. You know, I always thought money was really hard to get. I always thought money was never going to be part of my life, you know, but that was a real I'm sure you hear people talk about money mindset. That was a real eye-opening time when I actually, you know, people actually trusted me with their hard-earned money and savings, paid me a lot of money to help them and to solve a problem for them, and then to provide a great service. So that was the real transition, you know. That was something that really made me say, okay, this could work here, you know.
Mm. I have to ask, because you said money at least 5 or 6 times in that last bit. Is money the be all and end all for you, or is it a tool?
It's a tool. I understand that now. At that time, I would have said, look, money will make me happy, definitely. I've got a good friend as well. He owns a business that generates maybe 30 million a month, you know. And we had a conversation recently, and he's the owner of the business. He basically says to me, look, money's not the be all and end all. All I want here is a really simple and happy life. I've done all that, and he says, look, trust me, money is not the be all and end all. And that's evidence to me that, you know, it's really, you got to be happy within yourself, and you've got to do something that's fulfilling and that challenges you each day, but it doesn't have to involve a lot of money. I think I think the reason people need a lot of money is because they're spending a lot more than they can afford, you know, or spending a lot more than what they earn. But in regards to attracting money, it's out there, you know, whatever amount of money you want, you can have it if you want. But a lot of people don't need a hell of a lot of money, you know, to live the life that they want to live.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like sometimes I think when people like go, yeah, it's all about, I must have this X, Y, and Z amount of money to go and so I can do all of these things. I think I used to be on the same page as them. I go, yeah, you're right. You need all that money. But it's one of those things they haven't actually sat down and really had that conversation with oneself to like go, okay, where am I at with my life and what do I want from my life? What's going to be that thing what gives me that bit of purpose? And I think that's where many people sort of fall down on that. And when they go, yeah, it's when they really sit down and think about it, is it about having the big house? Is it about like having the flash car? Is it about having this like, yeah, jet set lifestyle? And for the majority of people, I would say no. Like, don't get me wrong. There are some people where it truly is about that bling bling. Here we go. Look at my ring. But you know what I mean? So I've got to, I am curious. What does like success look to you personally right now?
Freedom. So success to me is freedom. And I never knew the answer to that question until I really started to ask myself it.
Mm.
So, freedom is the success for me. It is success because if you think of what freedom represents, and this is in all aspects of life, like I'm not a guy that likes to be controlled or restricted. I just want to live my life in the way that I want to. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to need a million followers on my profile to be accepted. I just think the word freedom explains success to me.
Mm.
And if you think of what freedom really is, it's unrestricted, you know, it's financial freedom, it's emotional freedom, it's physical freedom, it's all them, it's everything that you need it to be. So for me, when I work, when I get up out of bed in the morning, I have a word on my wall and it says freedom. And then I will start my day knowing that that's my goal, is to continue to feel and be free in a world that is incredibly conformed, and a world that is incredibly restricted, in a world where so many people are being, you know, really hating their life because they don't like being told what to do, or they're working for someone that they don't want to work for. So I think freedom is a blessing to me, and it is success. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like with like, would you like say you're free now, or you've got some steps to go?
Yeah, I am. I say I'm completely free now. In many aspects, but I would say that I've still got ego. You know, I've still got an ego in me. I still like nice things. You know, I know you mentioned nice cars. I like all that stuff. But I feel like I'm just a spiritual being living in the physical world, you know. So I've loads to learn. But I if I compare myself to the past, I would say, you know, I'm living an amazing life, you know. So but again, look, I feel like I need that stress, I need that challenge, I need the goals in order to keep going, you know. So that's why I do CrossFit, because it's nearly impossible sometimes. I have the financial numbers that I'm aiming to achieve because it was once seen as impossible. So I like that. I like that challenge, and that's what gets me to bed as well. So I wouldn't say I'm probably mentally free from ego, or mentally free in the world we live in today. And I think you'll understand, in society, it's really difficult to be free when you look at the governments. But that would be another podcast, I would say, that we need to dive into.
It's like, anarchy!
But I'm incredibly blessed and fulfilled in my day, but I've a long way to go. I still have things I want to achieve, and loads of people like yourself that I want to meet and connect with. So I'm looking forward to the challenge, you know.
I hear you. I hear you. Like, this is the thing. I think, in our brief time of having a conversation, in our brief time of meeting, I think with regards to yourself, I would believe you are a type of person who goes, yeah, comfort zone. Don't be there. Don't live there. Live somewhere else. Even though you may have described CrossFit as your comfort zone, I think it's the thing with CrossFit, especially when you're competing. Unfortunately, you came second in your last competition. Say no more. But I think you need that sort of realm of struggle on a sort of day-to-day basis to sort of like, okay, I think the easier it comes with your business, I think you'll most certainly be like, hey, I need a little bit more drive at the gym.
Yeah, you're 100% right. So, I mean, you're a great judge of character, let's say, because, if it's easy, I just won't bother with it, you know. I just won't do it, and that's where I need. I'm still a guy that needs accountability. I need asked to do some to do things sometimes. So that's where I'm at. But yeah, in regards to comfort zone, I don't like being there. It's not a place where I want to stay. But you know, it's okay to feel comfortable sometimes. It's not. I think in some of these chats when you do with people that are maybe, you know, you see the gurus of the world, the influencers and the multi-millionaires and billionaires. I think the way they talk sometimes, it's as if they've really simplified their life and they've always done that. Well, it's impossible. there's no way that they were sticking to the routine that they were doing right now, because it's much easier for them to stick to that routine now. So I don't like to express that life's meant to be easy. It is a struggle, you know, it is hard, but it's meant to be. You're meant to, you know, enjoy the process. You know, you're meant to appreciate struggle and appreciate challenges and be okay with, you know, some roller coaster moments and some bad times. But I think when you understand that, there are definitely more good times than not, you know.
No, I agree. And like, this is the thing. I sometimes do look at people who are on the internet, these quote unquote gurus, which give out this wonderful advice. Like, yeah, do the job you love and you'll never work a day and blah, blah, blah. You go, right. And you simply go, okay. I look at your actions and like, yeah. Honestly, what you did for the first sort of 10, 20 years of your life, looking at it from the outside, couldn't have been easy, couldn't have been fun, couldn't have been, like, if you went, oh, you loved every minute of it, I would have to push back on that. So it's like, right, it's a, be honest. It's like, yeah, you might have to do something what sucks for a while to get you to point A, B, and C, and then you might, opportunities will come along the way to give you that next step, which will lead to whatever you like regard as your freedom, your success, that joy, joyous moment in life, you know?
Exactly. It's not, I don't think it's meant to be easy, but I don't think it's meant to, when you look at people that are successful, it's much easier to describe your life when you're happy and you're successful and you're fulfilled. But I would like to see those guys saying all those things when they're going through struggle, you know. And that's the reality is, you know, this is the real world, real people, and we trust in these people. We believe what they say. And that's something I don't agree with. I think, you know, tell people the truth and be honest with their story, because like a simple program isn't going to or material or getting up, or counting from 5, 4, 3, 5 down to 1, it isn't going to completely transform your life. It's really, really small stuff that they're teaching that they're saying is going to make a major impact. Whereas I think once you know who you are, once you're comfortable with yourself and you you're finding happiness within yourself, I think everything else will be attracted to you from there. But it takes hard work.
And like, this is the thing, one of like the things when it comes to struggle, when it comes to pressure, you truly find out what character you truly are. I think when, as you said, when things are easy, when things are great, you never know what is going to be the thing, because it's like, right, you never learn from a mistake which isn't there. It's like, so you're like, you go through life blissfully ignorant until you come against that person who's failed 100 times but managed to get up 101 times. And if you're in that happy place, they will come for you and take your lunch money and everything they can, and because they've like played the game and they know their character a lot better than you know.
Yeah, exactly. I 100% agree with everything you just said there. You're 100% right. Yeah.
So, like, this is the thing. Like, what would you say, like, over the sort of, like, first few years of starting your business, what were the sort of, like, driving character moments you found yourself in?
I think, I suppose, again, with struggle or failure, I sort of had this thing in my head that each failure, each time I had a down moment, I was getting closer to the light bulb moment, or the big voila moment, or the big success, the big win, you know. So I was nearly seeking failure, or seeking things that I wasn't good at, because I knew it's just slowly but surely getting closer. Now, thankfully, I don't have to do that. You know, I suppose I wouldn't recommend it, because it was a hard time, because you didn't know what the future held. You just were expecting a win to come. But now I can work a wee bit smarter than that. I worked endless hours. I know you hear that hustle, I did that. If I went back and restarted today, I wouldn't do that. You know, I would probably have a lot more patience. I'd probably work a lot smarter. You know, I would probably connect and try and emotionally connect with a lot more people. Whereas that time I was a bit of a recluse, and I was just focusing on growing the business, on money, working loads of hours, didn't spend time with family, friends. So that's just something because I seen the gurus saying that that's what you have to do, you have to hustle. I did it, but no, I wouldn't recommend it, definitely not.
Yeah, but I have to push back on you on that, because if you didn't go through that, you wouldn't know about it today. Because look, the whole thing is, okay, yeah, you listen to the gurus like Mel Brooks, Tony Robbins, like Gary V's, all of those people going, you must do this, do the whole like fucking like, yeah, 6 to 2 in the morning, like, do like work that job, like 18 hours, all of that, all of the things they say. But if you didn't go through that, you wouldn't have value for like, yeah, like relationships. You've like gone, oh, I've let that go. Like people I like had in my life who should be like, who are in my corner, but I haven't had the time to like go, you know what? How are you doing? And not like the whole, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And you walk on with your day. The sort of like, no, how are you doing? And sit down for a chunk of time to like really sort of like go, oh, I didn't know that was going on with your life. How can I help you? Like to like go value your time in such a way that you like go, right, the recluse lifestyle, like all of this time I'm gaining this, but that is not truly valuable when I could have a like moment or two with like my kids, like my wife, like, you know what I mean, my parents, or all of that. It's all of these things I would say you would have missed completely if you didn't like go through that side, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with you. I think everything's meant to be. And I was the guy that had to go through that, you know, for sure. I think that's important that's a great thing that you mentioned, is that if you hadn't went through it, you wouldn't know, you know? So I think anybody that's sort of listening there, that if they're going through any aspect in their life, it's meant for them. I think sometimes we have this sort of self, sympathize over ourselves, you know, our life's really hard, whereas if that's meant for you, you know it's meant for you, then you know you're meant to come through it. And that's a great thing. You know, the fact that life's giving you attention here and saying, look, here's a challenge. I want you to get through it because there's a light at the end of the tunnel here for you. I think that's a great thing, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. And like, yeah, if you can, like, if the challenge is there, step to it. Like, you might not succeed at that challenge, but you'll be richer from the experience of going through that challenge, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. No, 100%. Yeah.
So like with this and like with the skills you've accrued over the years, like, yeah, going from barman, going from semi-professional footballer to barman to like working in a plant to personal trainer, now to business coach. Like, what has been, is there a sort of one typical question you get in the beginning when you start coaching someone?
One typical question.
Yeah. Or a common theme that everyone hits you with.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's the systems and the strategies. They think it's the material that you have that makes you successful. They think that all that stuff, whereas the reality, it's not. I found that it's the connection you have with people.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a strong connection and a strong energy and with people, then they will listen to you, they'll trust you, and they will do as you ask. And that's a great coach. You know, you're a leader. So when you're a coach, you need to lead people to that their destiny, their desired destination. If they want you to reach certain goals, you have to take them there because you're a leader. That's important. If people don't connect with you, they don't align with what you say, they don't believe what you say, that's a major problem in the coaching world, you know. And then other coaches, I feel, have amazing programs, amazing material, amazing videos, fancy design and creativity and marketing. But that's all meaningless because it doesn't stimulate anything in that individual to get that person to act. And that's the big word, is to get the person to act, get the person to get out of bed in the morning and actually feel fulfilled and do what they want to do in order to be more successful, or to put money in the bank, or to put a roof over their head. That's the real key. And that's, as a leader and a coach, that's what you really need to do, is to really inspire people and stimulate something within them. And every internal stimulation is uniquely different to everybody. Like if you ask me to run a marathon tomorrow morning, I would do it, but not everybody's going to do that, you know? So it's really about connecting with the individual and leading them, and being a good people person is really, really important. But I find people really think it's the stuff that you have, it's the material, the systems, the strategies, all that stuff, where it's absolutely not. It's the connection, the emotional connection that you have with your clients, with the people that you work with.
And would you say, like, helping, when you get some people in the beginning, like helping them get that sort of, like, shifting that mindset or giving that mind shift to like, oh, wait a second, you're looking at it this way, but what if you looked at it this way? Would that help? Oh, sorry. Are you Steve? Sean? Oh, yep. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you still there? Okay, yeah, you are. I was like, oh no, you frozen. You looked to me like, okay. Like, would you say like that sort of shifting mindset or that mind shift? How, like, do you have to sometimes like get them to install that into them? Or is it a case of you like, oh, right?
Yeah, so that's when, at the very beginning, normally with and what we do here is we try and build that rapport and connection first before we work together. So that's important. If you don't have that from the very start, there is a shift there, and it can be difficult. I know there's a few times I've had to, so I've took someone on board for the first week or maybe 2 weeks, and then I've just given them their money back because we didn't connect, or I just didn't think the person was going to be coachable. So I don't think any amount of money in the world is worth someone not being coachable. So that's the reality. As coaches, everybody has their unique way and unique skills in leading people and coaching people. Mm. Now, I'm not going to be able to lead and coach everyone because I don't connect with every single person. But it's important that you know that there's certain people that are going to be coachable. They're going to listen to you. They're going to act. They're going to do what you ask because they believe in this process. But not everybody's like that, and that's where you can have a high ticket offer. You can get someone to pay you a lot of money. But I've done this before, and working with someone that is extremely difficult to work with, that's not worth the money, you know. So this is where that person needs to connect with another coach or another program or process, and they will be successful, but probably just not with me, you know.
Interesting. No, because it must be kind of fascinating for your standpoint as a coach, like basically seeing this person who comes to you, seeing where their journey is, and basically seeing where their journey potentially could be going, or like, you know what I mean, it could be going in this particular way, or you can see yourself like, okay, if I say this or that, maybe it might go that way, or it might just go a completely different way, totally unexpected to you and your client.
Exactly. Yeah, there is no yellow brick road, you know. It's there's no pathway that's just going to take you straight there. And I think that's what you need. You know, you're meant to come across a crossroad sometimes, and then you have to make an important decision. But that builds character, you know. That when things don't go your way and you keep going, that builds a strong character. And that's, again, that's when life's, you know, giving you this challenge, and specifically they're giving it to you. So there is, people believe there's this sort of path to success and this path to money, but really it's a puzzle sometimes. It's just going to be there's twists and turns, there's ups and downs. But yeah, every single client I've worked with has went a different path, honestly. There's no one perfect path that we work with. It's because each, you'll know this anyway, each person's life is completely unique to them. Their past is unique to them. Their current circumstances is unique to them. So everybody's starting off at a different place, and maybe every pathway is completely different.
No, I agree. I think one of the, as the old saying goes, comparison robs you of joy. Slightly paraphrasing there, but I think when people get into that realm of comparing themselves or their business to other people, and they sort of get trapped in that sort of mindset or that attitude, they're never going to be enough. Their business is never going to be enough. Their work is never going to be enough. Everything, every aspect of their life will never be enough, and they'll just end up torturing themselves on a daily basis, which you can say it to them, but when they're in that sort of mode, you got to sometimes go, okay, have at it. when you get tired, come back to me.
People can be temperamental. We are all emotional human beings, and sometimes people want to be told what to do. Sometimes people need to be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
It is all about being a good understanding, having a good understanding of people, and being able to mix with different personalities, different people that have been through different things, understanding, you know, their what they're going through. So it's important to know what to say at the right moment in order to help someone or help them progress forward.
Interesting. With regards to sort of progressing forward, where do you see this journey of yours sort of taking you over the sort of the next course of a few years? I don't know, five years, 10 years, 20?
Yeah, so where I'm at the minute, I'm working with professional sports people coming to the end of their career, or elite athletes, because I'm currently, or I've been, I've had that loss of identity, and I've felt what they felt, and then I didn't know where I was going. I felt there was no future for myself. And then I'd been working with people that probably a different story than mine, because they actually had the professional career, but they're in that bubble. But still, the loss of identity seems to be the main thing, or the first thing they feel. So I want to help people with that, because currently at this moment in time, I'm an elite athlete. I'm performing 2 or 3 hours every day, but still getting the job done, still working hard, still helping people, still making plenty of money for myself personally and for my business. So I want to help people with that, people that probably that have a sports career, that don't make a hell of a lot of money. They may be successful, they may get a lot of free stuff, but aren't making a lot of money. Like, not everybody's a professional footballer that has that money and to just live happily ever after. So I want to help people with that, and I feel I'll be doing that for the next 10, 15 years. I think the model that I've created, I have a licensee model here. I want people to purchase that model off me and take it and use it as they please to help other people be successful. So I think that's really unique. I've also want to continue to develop relationships. I think that, honestly, developing relationships with people is essential in the world. If you want to be successful at anything, you want to make money for yourself, you want to build a business, you know, having great relationships with people is essential. And I want to continue to do that and meet loads of people and travel the world.
I hear you. And like when you mentioned, yes, like there are like many sort of ex-athletes, athletes coming to the end of their careers. Like, it's one of those things where everyone goes, oh, you're an athlete. Surely it's like, have you really sort of looked at someone like who goes to the Olympics? You know them for around about 3 days out of 2 weeks, and they disappear into obscurity. And like, there are some sports they do which you're like, I don't see how you can really sort of support yourself on that, on just when they're doing the sport. So how they can support themselves after, especially when, think about it this way, Greco wrestling, not really a big sport over here. It's not really a big sport over in Northern Ireland. You know what I mean? But yeah. No.
Exactly. There, if you think of what a high performance sports person is, they're in a bubble. They're incredibly disciplined and restricted, and they're being told what to do. They're being shouted at to perform better. They're hitting major targets, and then the next day they're having to hit a better target again. So they're completely confined, and their life is nearly controlled for them, you know. And then all of a sudden they have to retire, and they're out of this bubble. They've got complete freedom, and they maybe spend the first year or two enjoying themselves and living that sort of relaxed, luxurious life. And maybe indulging in too much maybe alcohol or drugs, or maybe they have an inner voice in their head telling them to do things that they to relax when they really need to be finding a new career. So it's that transition, it's that 1-2 years that can really be fatal for people. And I want to work with people, and even when they're currently in their professional career, help them develop something on the side, so that when they do retire, they have something that's already grown, something that's successful, that they continue to feel that sort of that internal stimulation and excitement and enthusiasm that being a professional athlete or professional sports person gives you. That's my aim, and I think it's something that is really important to me as well, because I felt it, you know. I lived that, and I had no answer and no solution. And if I had someone like myself back then that said, okay, look, you didn't make it, but here's a really process and a unique model, and you get to work with me and all my team. We're going to help make you successful here. Let's do it. If I had had that, that'd have been a great thing, you know?
With that, you know, would you also say, like, providing a sense of order and structure? Because look, it's one of those things where being a professional athlete, being told when to get up, when to do this, it's like, yeah, go, go, go. Your life is planned out without you needing to think about it. With all of that freedom, like, yeah, having that something to have that get up and go for, but still not to go, okay, at this time I need to do this, at this time I need to do that. And when you're out in the real world, chaos ensues a lot more than you would expect. So are you also trying to help provide structure and order to find that new line of discipline for them?
Yeah, exactly. I think we all need we need routine and structure, because we always want, as human beings, we always want somewhere to go. You need a destination that you want to go to.
Mm.
If you wake up every day and you've nothing to do, and you've nowhere to go, or you've nothing to achieve, it can get very boring, you know. So you need, we want a place to go, and that takes an element of discipline, a routine, structure, accountability, but not as obviously strict as a professional sport person. There's an element of freedom there, and joy and happiness, and you get to make mistakes, and it's okay, and you get to feel, and it's okay. You don't have the entire world looking at you when you're performing. But yeah, routine for me, and discipline is an amazing thing, because discipline for me helps me feel fantastic, you know. So if I'm disciplined with my nutrition, I get to look in the mirror and appreciate, you know, what I've achieved. I like to look at the targets and goals that I've set for myself and be happy with that all because I had discipline. Whereas I feel from a professional athlete's perspective, they're told to discipline, they're told to eat this, told that they have to get up at a certain time in the morning. And that's a different aspect of discipline, you know?
Mm. Yeah, I hear you. Like, this is the thing. Like, the reason why this sort of sparks in my mind is, as well as athletes, like people who serve in the armed forces would benefit hugely for this as well, because they're kind of in that sort of same realm. The only difference is they're being deployed here, told to get up, all of this sort of set structure given to them on a like day-to-day basis. And when they hit Civvy Street, they like fall pretty much into many of the same like pitfalls that athletes do as well, because they've got all this time, they've got all this freedom, but it's like, what do I do now? Because sometimes that sort of sense of purpose and drive is no longer there, you know?
Exactly. And that's not something I've actually ever thought about before, believe it or not. You're 100% right what you're saying. And believe it or not, that the military and all that training that they do, you think Navy SEAL training.
Mm.
I don't know if you know David Goggins.
Oh, I know David Goggins. Come on
now. Yeah. He's amazing. So I've actually always wanted to do that style of training, just to test myself. And it's okay for me to say it, because I mean I'll do a challenge, but I didn't live it, you know. I didn't live, and what them guys and girls go through is astonishing. And then all of a sudden, as you say, for to just be out of it, you know, and just have to start this new life. So yeah, that would absolutely make sense to be able to work with that type of individual, you know. So So thank you very much. You've opened my mind a bit more so to that area as well. So you have.
I only take 2%, no, 5%, no, 10. one of the things David Goggins does annually, you may have done it yourself, the 4-4-48. Have you done that?
Yeah.
I've done that twice. I got to say, the first time, was an education. I was like, okay, yeah. I was about, run number 7. And I was like, yeah, like sitting around the house, just like smelly. My lady looking at me like, okay, you need to have a shower. Had the shower, and like my body went, you've had a shower. That means we can relax. I was wrecked for all the runs after that. Second time around, I was like, no.
Yeah.
Deal with my smell.
It's amazing what the body can do, because when you try anything once, it's difficult, but surely if you continue to do that same challenge, your body adapts and it gets comfortable, and you start to realize, you know, what you can achieve and what you can put your body through. I think it's amazing. Some people don't realize what their body can do, you know. And I think that's really sad. It's amazing what anybody listening as well that's never even done exercise before or isn't interested in exercise, it is astonishing what your body can do when you just decide to do it. You know, I think that's an amazing thing. I think it adapts to challenges, to struggle, and it's an amazing to we have this one body, and some people never get to use it. You know, it's a shame. You know.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think it's one of those things where people don't actually like go, okay, what is my limitation physically? Like, okay, if someone's like 300 pounds in body weight and like they go, yeah, what, like, you, what are you trying to say to me? Like, it might be getting up out of a sofa and like going for like doing 10,000 steps in a day. You go, right, you've pushed yourself to what your limitation is right now. Give them a year. If they've like continued to go, progress, grow as an individual physically, it might be, yeah, as you say, like running a marathon, like dropping everything and running a marathon tomorrow. It's just a case of going for it, seeing what you can do, you know?
Exactly. We're all just a decision away from anything.
Mm.
One decision away from anything. If you decide today that you want to do something, it's that decision that most people really struggle with. But if you just decide and you feel, at least you made that decision, you took the risk, at least you put yourself out there, and you can go do it again now because you made that decision at once. So, I think that's where the mentality of us, really, if you can broaden that and just, you know, take a risk sometimes and just do things that is outside your comfort zone, outside your routine, something that you've never done before, you slowly realize that what you are capable of, you know?
Yeah. And like, this is the thing, like with regards to like your capabilities, like what do you like, do you see a limit to yourself or with regards to certain aspects of your life? Or is it a case of you like, oh, right, my opportunities are boundless. Who I can be is like far greater than what some people might think it is, even to yourself. Like, how does it frame in your mind?
I try to live in the present moment. Mm-hmm. In the present moment, I am living that I can be right now. And I love that thought process that I'm all I am and all I can be right now. But in regards to limitations and capabilities, I feel that I can achieve anything, you know. And I think if you can do it, I can do it. I think if you see people on TV, if they can do it, then I can do it. Because that's just the way I feel and think, you know. But really, you only achieve certain things if you really want it, you know. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality. If you don't want something, you know, it's highly probable you're not going to go and achieve it if it is supposedly impossible. Mm. So if you really want it and someone else has already done it, you know, you can do it. Simple as that. There's no other way about it. You just need to make that decision, start. That's the way I feel about things, you know.
Mm. I hear you. I hear you. Wow. I like it. I like it. Like, I am curious. Like, there's one question I have to ask, and I never have asked this of a coach before, but I'm gonna ask you now. If you could go through any point in time in history and observe a team go through a whole season, sporting team, like company, whatever, just a team, and you couldn't the only interaction you could do was observe, which team would you like to observe?
A sporting team.
If it was a sporting team, yeah, let's go with sporting team.
I suppose, look, I'm a Man United fan, so I'd automatically go to them guys. I'd go to the time when Alex Ferguson first came on board, because I'm obsessed with leadership, and he, to me, is an amazing leader. So I'd go straight there just to see how he acted when he really struggled, because if you look at what he achieved in his career, is astonishing with Manchester United. But that time at the very beginning when people were doubting him, what was he like, and what did he act, and how did he speak to his players or his employees at that time? That's I'd love to be there and just to watch that and look at that, because I think, again, if I'm obsessed with leaders, and he's someone that did amazing. I think in business, I'm obsessed with Henry Ford. He if you ever watched his documentary, he was another leader that really inspired me through a time that was incredibly difficult as well, and a lot of people pointing the finger. But if you ever know his story, I think it's amazing where he came from and how he was able to lead people to do what he wanted done, you know, and pay them a good wage too at that time. I think it was astonishing what he achieved. And then I'm a major fan of Abraham Lincoln as well. Amazing leader, and what he achieved and how he changed American history and the culture. And again, went through really challenging times, but led, people followed him, you know, people really followed him, trusted him and loved him as well, and still to this day. So I'm obsessed with leaders.
I hear you. Look, you know what, like, I like your choices. I might want to spit in your cornflakes for the Man United bit, but that's another story. Like, but yeah, no. Like, this is the thing, the sort of aspects of leadership. And look, I say this as a Liverpool fan. Like, hey, look, with regards to Man United, like, it's very interesting to, like, see how, yeah, Alex Ferguson, like, first came in, almost getting fired, like, taking a team, which, good God, how many years was it before he won the league, like, going from, like, relegation, getting into it, and then having, like, one of the greatest runs, pains me to say it, at the birth of the Premiership, and to, like, have such a legacy, to go, right, what was the sort of turnaround to go from, like, being almost fired? Who were the key people he had around him? Was it a case of him building that team of people around him? Was it just a case of having a great crop of players coming through? Was it what were the sort of factors what made that happen on a day to day? So many questions, so challenging, and can that be replicated again in present day? I hope not.
Well, I suppose if you look at what he did, he came in and changed the culture. There was a real bad culture at United at that time.
Mm.
And if you look at United today, there's a real bad culture there. And it's going to take someone to change that culture. That's the first thing that needs to change, is the culture of, because success nearly came easy to United at a time. And they took that for granted. And then when Alex Ferguson left, they expected it to continue to go that way.
Mm.
And I think everybody has a part to play in a club, but you really need a group of people to really, okay, look, this is the culture, this is what we're sticking with, and we'll build from there. Look at Jurgen Klopp. He is the king, and he makes the decisions. He is a culture there of hard work. Look at Pep Guardiola. He's a culture there of playing amazing football, but still working incredibly hard. Mm. I think United lost that that sort of aspiration to work hard, you know, to work hard, to win the ball back, to work hard for your teammate. I think they've lost that real culture that United had, you know.
Yeah. I also think it also comes down to this, building those great habits. When you don't, like, when you have great habits, look, bad habits, everyone goes, yeah, I don't know how I managed to get this bad habit. It's like, yeah, you sleepwalk into it, and yeah, before you know it, a number of years have gone by, and you're like, what the hell happened? Yes, I go, I don't know. So building good habits takes so much more hard work. You've got to be always present to build that habit, and it to get to go onto autopilot. is a hard thing to do. You know what I mean? Because there is a litany of excuses to pull you away from that good habit. You know what I mean? Look, oh yeah, oh, got to go out here. Oh yeah, I've got to meet these people. Oh yeah, like life has just gone a little bit bonkers. But when you lose those good habits and built like, and you don't, you fail to build them, yeah, you do get lost, even if you've had success in your life. Like, and trying to guard against it is very hard indeed. Now, when you speak to some of your clients, what do you say to help them sort of like, yeah, not fall back into sort of like maybe some bad habits you managed to help get them away from?
Yeah. Yeah, this is where, because my programs are a lot longer than most. So my first program is a year long.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason I work with them for so long, is because habits, it's so easy to creep back into that than normal habits when you've got no accountability. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look well on me if my clients are doing well when they're with me, but when they're not with me, they go back to that doesn't look really good on me and my service and what I do. So it's important for me when I provide people with results that they continue with those results consistently. It's really about accountability until, like, obviously when people work with me, their goals change. You know that sometimes they, at the beginning they want certain things, but then maybe 6 months in they want something else. They decided, okay, I've had that, I want something else now. So the goalposts change sometimes. And so when I'm there to keep them accountable, then they get shit done, so to speak. Whereas really it's when they don't have that accountability, they've no one to answer to. Maybe they've worked hard for a few months and they deserve a rest. That's when them habits creep back in. But really it's about, you know, your bubble. It's the people you surround yourself with.
Mm.
It's society, it's the type of if the type of decisions you make at the weekend, you know, they can slowly but surely creep into a more negative habit than a positive one, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I do hear you. trust me. I've been there a few times. Waking up, staring into the abyss, like going, why? Why did I do that to myself? Yeah. It's like, yeah. Or pulling out receipts, like going, oh no, I'm not going to see that money again anytime soon. Oh, brilliant. Now, almost lost my train of thought, but like working with someone for a year, like building these good habits and like helping them forge, helping themselves forge their way forward to the point where they like you. You sound like a good coach to me, because like a good coach in my mind is a person that goes, I'm trying to get you to a point where you don't need me mm-hmm. anymore. Bad coaches want to keep you there forever. Good coaches, yeah. Like, off you go. Now, if there was one thing you could do to help a person like sort of go, make a decision to get on the path, what would that one thing be?
That's a really good question.
I have them occasionally.
The one thing, I think when I work with people, I always ask myself a question, you know, when I'm working with people, if they're going through struggle and I need to provide that client with a solution, I always ask myself, you know, what I do when I was going through the struggle that they're going through. I think what the biggest thing for me was that there's no solution or answer outside of yourself. So we hold the answers within us. So in order to get stuff done, to make a decision that's important for you, you need to go inside yourself. Mm-hmm. So what I do first and foremost when I work with people is I coach them on that. I coach them on that I may be coaching them, but the real superhero here, the real person that's going to achieve the results is you, you know? So it comes within you, and everything that we achieve here is going to be because you made a decision to do it. So I help them find something within themselves that creates that want, that inspiration, that desire to go and achieve the goal that they want. And a lot of the time, as I said, when I really deeply dive into someone, their goals, they think they want to be a millionaire, whereas really they don't. You know, really, they just want to be happy. Really, they just want to feel appreciated. Really, they just want excitement in their life. You know, so once we do that deep discovery, that's when I say, okay, I found a want in this person. I know what they truly want here. And then I use that. I use that as nearly like a lead to guide them towards that goal. So that's the biggest thing I do, I would say, is probably if I don't have a solution for someone, I'll ask myself and I'll say, what would I do? Or what, how do I find this answer? And normally it's within myself or within them.
I hear you. Now, I have to ask, and this must probably be one of my final questions. Now, if I could give you the opportunity to watch the CrossFit Games or be in the CrossFit Games, which one would it be?
It would definitely be in the CrossFit Games for sure. That's one of the dreams, definitely.
So, like, this is the thing. Like, do you reckon, like, you'll do regionals or anything like that to, like, get yourself closer or to get yourself a ticket to be in the games itself?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's all I'll do, and that's why I'm training to achieve that. And a lot of people would say, you know, because I'm so busy in business and all that, and I have a lot of focus on clients. You know, at the end of the day, this is our life. You know, this is my life. This is your life, and we still need something to aspire, something that really excites us. So I will definitely be at some games, you know, whether it be a vocational games or whether it be an elite games or maybe a masters. I would definitely get there for sure. I know I will, because that's a dream of mine and something that really stimulates something really, you know, passionate within me. So I know I will get there. It may not just be the elite men's games, but I wouldn't say no.
Oh dear God, like, no, you know what, going through a round of Murph would be in that hot sun. Yeah. I'll do it. I eventually crawl across the line, but yeah, like, but oh my Lord, the one at like CrossFit athlete would really impress me. Sam Briggs.
Yeah.
Like, she was doing Murph. And like, this is the thing. Like, you know how it is with the CrossFit Games. It's like the 1% of the 1%. Like, this must have been, let's go, I think 4, possibly 5 years ago. And like, she was like doing Murph. And she just basically went, okay, right, I'm having at it. She went. She took the lead. And she started to lap other ladies on the earth. And it was not the easiest conditions. And you're like, oh my God, what are you made out of? What type of human being do they make? How do they make you? Did you come out of a lab? Were you found by wolves? I'm not too sure. But yeah, simply amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy what the body can do. I mean, there's times when I'm working out there and you've nothing left and your mind's telling you to stop, but for some reason you keep going. And sometimes it is just to beat somebody. You know, it's, you've got something in you that you want to win this, and you'll do everything you can. And I think the body's amazing. If you add the mind and then you add emotion, you add community, you add culture, you add desire, you add all those amazing things, you know, nothing's impossible, really.
Yeah. No, I agree. My word, Shane, it's been a pleasure to have you and the power of your winning mindset on the podcast today. Now, I have to ask, how can people find you out there on these worldwide webs?
Yeah, so you find me on my website, it's just shanemulgrew.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, probably from a business perspective or professional perspective on LinkedIn. If you want to watch my videos, you can go to TikTok or Instagram as well. It's just Shane Mulgrew to watch all the CrossFit stuff. So I try and keep different. I wear different hats for each platform that I'm on, Facebook as well. But yeah, you can touch base with me anytime via email as well. It's just ShaneM@Ascentive.com. And yeah, if anybody's any questions or wants to reach out, please do so.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. I'll put all of this information into the show notes so you can track him down. Yes, I'll be watching. I'll be watching. I remember when he was on my podcast, when he's at the CrossFit Games. If I'm there next to him, I'm like, yeah, something's gone tragically wrong. That's like, how did this happen? I'll blame him. But yes, I'd like to say thank you to you, Shane, for coming on today.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. The pleasure's all mine. And I'd like to say thank you to you, my friends, my life warriors, for sticking with us to the end of the show. Ah, please stay safe, stay well, be awesome, be excellent, be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and then some. Have a great day, guys. Yes. Peace.
Thank you.
And we are.